This podcast episode is powered by AfriPods, the world's number one podcasting platform for African stories.
Moving on, as I, mid-30s, as I got family and I got children, the question of disposable income comes into play. So I'm now a manager, or I'm getting some, you know, I'm well known within the private sector. You know, you're able to make some extra cash. So then where do I invest this money?
Hi, and welcome to another episode of Make Money, the podcast. Now, according to an Infotrack survey of January, 45% of Kenyans are seeking additional employment and income sources as a coping mechanism. And of course, this is in the context of greater payroll reduction, stagnation in wages, higher taxes, inflation, and a volatile job market. Now, as side hustles become an integral part of the economy, it's good to have this conversation, and I'm glad to be joined by a director at Vifa Consult, Mr. Victor Agola. And Mr. Victor Agola, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you very much, and happy to be here.
Thank you. And I think having heard to your story, I think you'd let in our listeners know to your story. I think you've been in and out of formal employment. You've worked for government. You've worked in the private sector. What are your own experiences with side hustles?
I think the idea around side hustle depends with context, depends with age, as well as experience. Just looking at our own studies and my own personal journey, is usually between the ages of 26 to 30 is, most of us are trying to supplement income because, you're fresh from uni, things are not working as such. So I think the idea around that stage is the motivation around side hustle is supplementing income. Probably as you move along, this again has happened to me during my 20s and now late 30s, is to some degree is an unmet need by the employer. So you're young, you probably did a degree, and whatever you're practicing is different. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So maybe you're not getting satisfaction from your employer, so then you're motivated to do something that is interesting to you. Probably if you're a journalist, you'd want to do an MC, or you want to do something outside of the job that, you know, you're not able to practice, mm-hmm. but you feel it's within your talent. So that also, happened to me at some point. Moving on, as I, mid-30s, as I got family and I got children, the question of disposable income comes into play. So I'm now a manager, or I'm getting some, you know, I'm well known within the private sector. You know, you're able to make some extra cash. So then where do I invest this money?
Yeah.
So then you look for a side hustle. And I think even as you move on, I'm not at retirement age, but I think even based on our studies, we see between 50 years and above, they are either bored at work, you've done it all, you've seen it all, you want mm-hmm. to do something different, mm-hmm. you want to farm etc., or it's just a retirement plan.
Yeah.
So those are the stages and the motivations that we see based on my own experience and based on my own studies.
Yeah.
We've seen that motivate people to enter into side hustles.
Yeah. I think you mentioned about the motivation for starting side hustles. So I'll take you back to the tier one, this 26 to 30, you're looking to supplement income. And I think the survey I just mentioned, you know, just out within January, around, you know, the motivation being as a coping mechanism, you know, starting something on the side to make extra income as a coping mechanism. We know what has happened over the past year. Don't need to go over it again. But someone is sitting in a job somewhere in an office, maybe even listening to this at the office, and they're wondering, how do I get started then, and what is the right timing? Maybe they've worked 2-3 years. Getting and working one job is already, you know, meticulous and tough enough. Getting to a second is tough. So they're wondering, Mr. Victor, you're talking of these all scenarios, and how and where do I get started?
I think fundamentally, from a business perspective, you are trying to beat inflation.
Mm-hmm.
This means that you are trying to live above cost of living. So
yeah.
A shilling that you have today has to grow at inflation at the very minimum. And you are looking to get a return on investment that is above inflation, that is above the CBK rate in terms of return. So that's fundamental before you start any business. So this business is not romance, you know.
Yeah.
It's not a question of I like this and I'm doing this. Is you need to enter into businesses or into ventures that are profitable enough to pay for the business itself, but also give you a return.
Yeah.
If you do any type of business that does not provide that, then just close that business. So I think then now, based on the motivation, based on the interest, then you can choose where to start. What we see in Kenya majorly is what I call sheep mentality type of business.
Yeah.
Where I see Kefa starting a car wash without even doing any type of research, I go start. Or wines and spirits, we saw that during COVID.
Yeah.
Or car wash. Usually with this type of businesses, and of course what we call wholesale and retail, where you buy either camera at Kikomba and go sell it within in the estate, or you are procuring stuff, putting a margin and trying to resell.
Mm-hmm.
Those businesses, they seem attractive, but usually that's where profit margins are razor thin.
Yeah.
Add the complication that you're not the one running that business, and of course that business is going to close or is going to struggle. So I think being meticulous enough to do research, to find out which businesses can I engage on, even as I do my full-time job, that would allow me not to compromise the time of my employer, probably if you can do it in the evening, or it's a business that you can be able to deploy technology to be able to run it. But fundamentally being profitable. So doing research and ensuring that you've done your homework, you know what you're getting yourself into, you can do your financial projections. If not, then probably you can get someone to help you in terms of doing a scenario of, if I was to start a car wash business, or if I was to start manufacturing soap or whatever, is it going to make sense? Is it going to give me some extra cash? If not, then don't start. Just enter into businesses, no matter how small, that are profitable from the get-go.
So sticking to the factors to consider, I think something else that comes across is, do you stick to the line of what you do? You just gave an example right at the beginning, and I always wonder if maybe I'm in business administration, maybe do I just start a business as my evening or as my side job? Does it matter? Can you learn a skill? Can you venture into something perhaps you have no prior experience to? Because sometimes people argue, you know, if you're in this lane, then stick to that line. You already know how things work on that side. Don't take risk where you should not be taking risks.
Yeah, I think it depends. I've seen even from uni, guys who did, my background is accounting.
Yeah.
I have a lot of, colleagues or even friends who did accounting, but they're photographers. Some of them are caterers. Some of them are doing different types of hustles that is not what they studied for. So I don't think there are people who are fortunate enough to have talent of a certain nature, gone to school to nurture that talent, and have gone ahead and started a business that is in that line. Different people have different experiences. We've seen people who enter into ventures where, it's not even related to what they learned or whatever talent that they have. It's just a question of going to YouTube, learning. We have good examples of a famous rugby player who, was playing rugby and decided to,
to cook for us on TikTok.
And,
yeah.
And you can see he's very successful at that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a question of, following the business principles, which are maybe around four. Number one is being able to identify a very clear problem, and being able to validate that problem, so that is it big enough? Is it can you be able to make a business out of it? And if you have identified a problem, is there a market for that particular? If you're to solve that problem, or give in terms of a service or selling something, are there enough people who are willing to buy? You can take a Porsche and take it to, maybe let's say for example, to Kibra. There might be demand, but someone doesn't have the ability to pay. So that's what I'm saying. The market validation has to be there.
Mm-hmm.
So you know exactly where I'm placing this market. So sometimes we always see a mismatch in terms of product and the market.
Yeah.
You have a very nice product, but targeting the wrong audience who either maybe want, but they can't pay. So that is a process that you have to go through. You have to go through what we call product validation. So is it satisfying that market satisfactorily?
Yeah.
And lastly is willingness and ability to pay. So those are the four stages or questions that an entrepreneur has to ask themselves, so that you are very sure that if I was to start, doing catering or selling shoes or buying whatever or whatever, giving whatever service, is you're very clear in terms of what we call a business model. You are very clear who your customers are, not a general middle class. customer, but I am sure that my target audience is in Eastlands or is in Westlands, or is of a certain class, or, you know, that has to be very clear so that you are very sure who you're targeting and you know that they have the ability to pay. So if you're targeting middle class in Buruburu, you know the persona of that person. So either they are driving a Vitz or they, you know, they live in a 30K house, they have two kids, their children are going to a certain school. You literally know the person that you want to sell to, and you can even when you're marketing, when you're reaching out to them, they're able to resonate with the product that you have. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, if you do a generic, I've seen Kefa put a car wash, you don't somewhere in Nairobi West.
Yeah.
You are not sure what is driving the business. Is it foot traffic? Is it that there are bars next to it?
Yeah.
So there are certain fundamentals that you might miss out, and you might just copy and you miss an opportunity to really grow your business.
Yeah. I think the next question, once you've considered the factors and you've identified the opportunity, you've set up your business, it's running on the side, you still have your day job, balance become another key thing. How do you maintain that integrity and balance between your side hustle and your day job? Noting that some of our employers have, you know, a conflict of interest clauses in those contracts that we keep.
Yeah, so I think from an employer perspective is your productivity should not go down in terms of your day job. So if you're a journalist or you're a banker, your contract says 8 to 5. So you need to show up. You need to work and ensure that your productivity is sustained.
Yeah.
And for you to be able to do that is you need to be able to have very good systems in your side hustle. So, and this is the thing sometimes with looking at side hustle. Side hustle is still a business that needs to run on its own. So you need to be able to, from the get-go, know that you're not going to be there. Deploy or put in structures that would allow for the business to run even with you not being present. It might cost you a bit more in terms of getting maybe an extra hand or getting a manager to run it. But I think the sooner you're able to professionalize your side hustle, the easier is it for you to be able to balance the two. Otherwise, if you employ your relatives to run the shop, they will finish you dry. I mean, you should be able to recruit professionally, get someone, pay them minimum wage, put systems and structures to allow that business to grow. Otherwise, what the challenge that we see is a lot of people call it side hustle and have a very slack mentality towards that business. Mm. You fire and hire at will. You come pick money from the counter. I mean, you do all the bad things that even the employees who are there can see and learn.
Mm-hmm.
So if this guy is the owner, is able to pick money without even accounting for it, what would stop me as an employee from doing the same?
Yes.
So, but if you're able to set the tone in terms of doing proper research, doing your market feasibility, starting the business on a very good note and having very tight, what we call internal control processes, then it is easier for you now to come periodically, either through the weekend or in the evening, to just look at the numbers, ask what are the challenges that they are experiencing, and sort them out.
Yeah.
Failure to do that, then you will be in a rat race that you will never finish.
You spoke about setting up structures to ensure that the side hustle is in effect running by itself, in a sense. This is something that I've from friends, from colleagues, I've learned as a very difficult task. And sometimes I wonder, is it all side hustles that can run by themselves, or some perhaps you're biting a bit, you're biting too much, or you have too much than you can chew and swallow. And Casey's example, there are people who trade farming on the side in the village. You're in Nairobi, you are working a day job, you're trying to run that business on your phone. And a lot of people think that you're just burning cash if you are doing that, because dishonesty, unfortunately, is some of the things that creep up. You'll pass instructions to someone, send, you know, a mobile money payment, and sometimes those doesn't work. Do you feel sometimes there are businesses perhaps that might be too complicated to run on their own if you are not present at least every so often?
So I think also just based on studies that we've done around side hustle is the side hustles that have managed to succeed are those that either complement your day job or are very close to where you live. So agriculture is one of those that I think is done out of, I don't know, just enthusiasm or something, just to see that you're a farmer. But a lot of them really struggle. And of course, we are looking at subsistence farming. And of course, it's a bigger issue around agriculture because, you know, we use very low tech. We rely on rain. And of course, even the way we run agriculture is small scale and are not as professional. So side hustles around agriculture it is what we would call maybe, you know, you have an unmet need in your day job and you just want to do something different.
Yeah.
Not necessarily for profit, but just to do something different. But I think if you're able to choose a side hustle that almost supplements or complements your day job, as an example, is a journalist doing an MC job over the weekend or during the evening, or during your leave days, you'd find that person would not struggle as such. People within hospitality, you know, you have a hotel or restaurant within your estate or near where you work. And if you're able to put structures, then again, you might not be able to struggle. The same for entertainment and media.
Yeah.
You run a YouTube content creation platform. I mean, you can be able to do that in the evening.
Yes.
And you're able to generate revenue in one way or another. Mm-hmm. Same for retail. Wholesale retail, you have a shop, a small shop or a small supermarket in the estate, or somewhere you have you know in transport business, you have an Uber, you have a Nduthi or a tuk-tuk,
yeah.
depending. Mm-hmm. We feel real estate is also another area, travel and recreation where you are a travel agent.
Yeah.
Again, you don't have to be physically there to run the business as well as financial services.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, use having extra cash and giving loans to either colleagues or running it as a microfinance, whether, you know, it's collecting or not. So there are certain sectors that they are successful, but there are certain sectors that are not successful. So again, it depends with how you place yourself. If you do agriculture, of course, you're going to struggle. You can't, do farm 300, 400 kilometers away and expect, and of course, you're recruiting your relatives and expect, with no agrovet, with no extension services. I mean, you are going to struggle, but there are certain sectors, there are certain, businesses and based on the proximity to where you live and where you work that I think can be successful.
Yeah. I think before we wind up, you yourself and Vifa Consult, you've done quite the reports on I think you named them the State of Side Hustle reports. So I was going through your 2022 report and I would just like to read some of the findings out. You know, half of Kenyans with side hustles are set to quit their day jobs, meaning, you know, the side hustles are doing so well that they can even, you know, leave behind what was their primary source of income. I think another finding that I found interesting was only 4% were intending actually to sell their business. And that already shows that they are confident enough of these businesses. And I think another that I picked out was 72%. These 7 out of 10 are running profitable ventures. So the question then becomes, how do you run a successful side hustle? If, you know, if there are people, Kenyans, these are already businesses that are there and working, that someone feels that it's now already enough for me that I can quit my day job, you know, thank my employer and move on to my thing. And I know many would wish this, but how do you get to that point and how do you discover success, perhaps? What are the secret ingredients you would feel there?
Yeah, so it depends with the sector, it depends with your experience, corporate experience or not. So like I said, I think there are certain sectors that would do well easily as a side hustle. Sectors such as hospitality, business support services, entertainment, retail to some degree, transport, you know, buying an Uber and do the ETC, real estate if you're able, travel and recreation, education, as well as financial services. So those are top sectors that easily can be sustained even as you say and as you stay within your employer. So again, it depends with capital, it depends with experience, ETC. Based on the survey, what we were seeing is, again, depending with the age. So you'd rarely find between 26 or so or 30 leaving their side hustle to go to their main business, because even as you start a side hustle, it takes time for it to stabilize. It takes maybe minimum 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't expect for you to start your side hustle within a year and
tell
you
and to
transition
it.
to transition out, unless there are exceptional cases for that matter in any case.
Yeah.
But I think it's just a question of if you are able to start a business whose business model is solid, yeah. you know your customers, you're making profits and it's growing pole pole, then probably over time you can be able to transition out. Again, side business is not for everyone. Entrepreneurship is not for everyone.
Yeah.
There are people who are comfortable just on an 8-to-5. I mean, we should not condemn them.
Mm-hmm.
And entrepreneurship also in Kenya is still not fully accepted as society.
Yeah.
My own mother, you know, has never acknowledged that I am a serious person until I went to work at the county.
Yeah.
Then that's when she declared, now my son has is serious with the life.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, so the society and especially for a certain generation has not really accepted doing business as a serious career path.
Yeah.
So I mean, it's just a question of choosing the right business, pushing and being consistent, and having the right processes, partners, and mentors to ensure that you're able to grow your business.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think last one for me is around, you know, when exactly start a side hustle. You notice people facing setbacks sometimes are forced to jump into these, what they would think are side hustles, and perhaps sometimes people only jump to them once, you know, the crisis comes, the setback comes, is when you're jumping onto something else as a side hustle. So should you wait until, you know, the factors we were speaking a bit earlier, you know, you feel there's an unmet, you know, need from the employer, perhaps you feel, you know, your disposable income is going down. Must it wait for such scenarios for you to start? Or can you go ahead and start you even love your day job, you're always there on time, like you said, you're meeting what is expected of you. Do you go ahead and start and not, you know, don't make it as an alternative, you know, don't make it a plan B.
Yeah.
It's side hustle. Some people see it as a side, as a plan B, and must it not, it might be in part of the plan A perhaps. For you, how do you view things?
Yeah, so I mean, it, you know, human beings are very, you know, unique.
Mm-hmm.
There are people who set out to just follow their passion, follow their hobby, and lo and behold, it becomes a business, and it, you know, it starts to make enough money. Probably then it, you know, the salary even surpasses what you get on your day job.
Yeah.
There are people who go into side hustle out of desperation, and some fail, some succeed.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there is no one fit solution for all.
Mm-hmm.
But I think depending, irrespective of your motivation to going into a side hustle, is, remember, a side hustle is still a business.
Yeah.
So it requires that you do your homework. It requires that you do your business plans. It means that you consult, even if you don't have to know everything. You can consult YouTube. You can consult ChatGPT. You can consult your friends who are professionals, mm-hmm. to give you guidance around the areas that you want to go into, information that you can use, and even get mentors who have gone ahead of you, either in terms of age or professional experience,
yep.
to just handhold you around the kind of side hustle you want.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure if you are to stick to that and have, of course, good processes, controls, etc., then you can be able to succeed. The decision of whether to leave to go to the side hustle or to remain on your day job now squarely depends on you, in terms of your future life plans. But mm-hmm. Either way, side business is not for everyone. 8-to-5 is not for everyone. So it's for us to choose, not because of pressure, because you want to keep up with the Njugunas or Kardashians. But it's just personal preference, personal motivation, and the things that you want to achieve from a personal level.
All right, great. And that has been Victor Agola, a director at Vifa Consult. And I'd like to thank you for being on the podcast today.
Thank you so much, Kefa.
All right. And my name is Kefa Muirore, and that has been another episode of Make Money, the podcast. And Make Money is a production of The Business Daily.
Inaendeshwa na AfriPods.